Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 2. It came to pass that Jesus also had been baptized and praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ was very important for a number of reasons. But certainly it signified the commencement of his public ministry. And that only lasted for 3 short years or so. But it was a most important moment. When Christ stepped into the Jordan River to be baptized of John, it was an important time. What's very interesting is that Luke in his gospel here in verse 21 makes a wee comment that you might miss. It says, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. Now all the 3 synoptic gospels tell us about the baptism of Jesus, but only Luke records the fact that he was praying. Now John 17, of course, is the longest recorded prayer of Christ publicly stated, but Luke in his gospel says more about Christ praying than Matthew or Mark. You should carefully consider the Savior's prayer life. For folks, if he felt the need, and he often did, in fact he always did, to pray, to spend time with the Father, how much more do you and I need to spend time in prayer? Follow his example, as we're told to follow his steps in the New Testament. Baptism was important. I believe baptism was still important. I'm not going to argue now with you here to cause offense because we have different views on the mode of baptism. I believe I have the biblical mode, but I'm not going to go into that. But I will say this. Those who believed in the New Testament were baptized. None of them were baptized beforehand. He that believeth and is baptized is the command of Scripture. But anyway, there are many arguments for all schools of thought. But I want you to notice several things here about the praying of Christ. First of all, the reality of it. It's the first record of his praying, but it's not his first prayer. As we said, the Lord Jesus prayed much. It was natural for him, just as it should be natural for us. Before you left home this morning, you should have been engaged in prayer, believer. The length of the prayer, that's up to yourself. But you have to pray. Pray that God will bless the services, and bless the preaching, and bless the people. It was natural for Jesus to do this. This was a major event in his life. So he prayed. Now there's great lessons here. Let me just share a couple of them with you. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, for example, here's what's recorded. Luke 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went and went into a mountain to pray and continued, note this, all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto them his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, knew from all eternity who the 12 were. But it is very significant to me that before he chose them publicly, he prayed about it and he communed with the Father. Why? It was an important event in his life. Look at Luke chapter 9, if you will, and verse 29, I think it is. Luke 9 and 29. Read the verse. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Physically changed because of the passion and fervor and fire of his praying. It was said of David Brainerd, the missionary to the African Indians, or to the North American Indians in the States, that as he prayed in the forest in the snow, the passion of his prayer was so great that for 2 or 3 feet right around his body, that snow melted with the heat and the fervor of Brainerd's prayer. I would believe that, having read his life story. You know, of course, the classic one in John 11, the graveside of Lazarus. The Lord prayed and he said, Father, you hear me always. Then he stood there at the grave of a man that had been dead 4 days. And he called out, Lazarus, come forth. As Dr. Paisley pointed out many years ago to us, he just didn't say, come forth. Had he said, come forth, the whole graveyard and all the dead, the earshot, would have come forth. But you see, it's an effectual call of the gospel here. Lazarus, come forth. He prayed. He prayed about it. That's the important thing, brother. Over in Luke's gospel again, Luke does emphasize the praying of Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41 right through to 45, the Lord in the garden. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He kneeled down and prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now, there's a lot of differences between preachers and theologians about what this means. Was Jesus praying that the cup of Calvary's cross would be taken away from him? When from all eternity, that was his will and plan and purpose. And he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. You've got to ask yourself that question. Now, I have spoken to some colleagues, and some agree with me, and some don't. I don't believe this is the cross. I believe that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the devil tried to kill Jesus. And all the satanic pressure of hell was upon him. And he prayed it would be removed. And here's the point. It was removed. You see, the Lord never offered a prayer to God that wasn't answered. Thou hearest me always. And the Lord heard him here too. But it's a moot point. Some of the colleagues, as I say, do. I discovered a fact that probably came originally from this source. It was a Reverend Alan Kearns that believes this too. So I felt, well, I must be in good ground. And then it was strengthened even more when I heard that Mr. Douglas believed it too. But then I was disappointed when I heard that others, I'll not name them, but they didn't believe it. It doesn't really matter what you believe about it. The fact is, he prayed this, and the Lord heard him. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He needed strengthened. God responded to the prayers of Jesus, as he always did. In Luke chapter 23, there's a classic. You might not agree with this, and I don't know that I do, but I'll tell you what it is anyway. Verse 34 of 23. Listen to this. Chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, he's on the cross now, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if God always heard his prayer, then these people responsible for this crucifixion, physically at that time, they all must have been converted at some stage. A.W. Pink makes a comment, and this is where I'm not sure, but who am I to argue with Arthur Pink? He said this. He said, every individual that day gathered round the cross, and folks, there would have been thousands of people. Pink takes you to the sermon of Peter and the apostles in Acts 2, where he tells them in his preaching, I wot that through ignorance you did it. Crucify the Lord of glory. They know not what they do, so Father, forgive them. I leave that to your own thought. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? E.M. Bounds, who wrote a great book on prayer, several of them, but he said this, and I quote, the great errors of Christ's life were created and crowned with prayer. Let's go back to Luke 3 just for a second and read how the fourth chapter begins. After the baptism, after this spiritual high, after this commencement of his public ministry, we read Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Watch this bit. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Will you notice, folks, that it was the Spirit of God that led Jesus to the place of temptation? And it wasn't to see if he was going to sin. It was done to prove he wasn't able to sin. Christ was incapable of sinning. That's why he was tempted and tried. But listen, you'll not be saved too long, beloved, until you find out there's a devil. And that devil wants to do you harm, cause you grief and sorrow. You'll meet him, all right. And I'll tell you the best way to deal with the devil. The way that Jesus did do in Luke. Every time he was tempted, he answered Satan by the word of God. That's all. Three quotations from the book of Deuteronomy. I think from memory, from chapter 6 and chapter 8. He rebuked the devil by the power of the word of God. Folks, that's the way you do it. There was a young girl many years ago who got saved and got full of fire and blessing. And she wanted to win the world for Christ. She discovered her friend had become a Jehovah's Witness. She agreed to go with her to one of the meetings in the Kingdom Hall. And it didn't turn out the way she thought, because it ended up that she too joined that wicked cult, became a member of the Jehovah's Witnesses. She thought she could handle it, but she didn't know the word enough to defeat the wiles of the devil. You'll get the Mormons, you'll get the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll come, and unless you're on sure ground, the word is written in your heart. It's like that sword of David's warrior that clave to his hand. It became part of him. He couldn't let it go. Mormon might come and say, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. You just say to that Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, do you believe Jesus was good? Oh, yes. He was the epitome of goodness. Well, friend, Jesus said himself, there is none good but God. And would you like to tell me an instance when Christ was not good? You've already said you don't know any, and I agree with you. So if he's not guilty of doing any bad things and only good things, if that's an attribute of God, he must be God. That has left one or two of them speechless, I can tell you. And there's many such instances. But you need to know the scriptures. And this prayer of Christ's wasn't vocal. We're not told it was prayer uttered publicly. But you know, folks, I want to tell you, and I'm saying this maybe to encourage some folk. People maybe don't come to prayer meetings in the church because, well, people have said it to me, but Mr. Baxter, I can't pray publicly. I couldn't open my mouth and pray in a public forum. Just wouldn't happen. But I want to tell you something. Inaudible prayer, prayer that's from the heart, that's unspoken, is just as valued of God as audible prayer. We encourage people, of course, to pray audibly because it helps the spirit of the meeting. But it's not a necessary thing for prayer. Don't let that put you off that you can't pray publicly. For someday, in constant attendance, God may give you victory. I know that when I first got saved, I wouldn't do anything about public speaking. I was afraid to open my mouth in public. Oh, if there were two or three girls standing about the church after the youth fellowship, I just couldn't have gone to them and just spoke very freely. Never mind ask one of them out. Mary had to ask me out, as it turned out, years later. But, you know, I was really petrified. The Reverend Michael Patrick put an end to that at an open-air meeting. When I went to the open-airs, I cleared off with tracts. That's a good thing to do. I was happy to do, put tracts through doors, put them in cars. That's a great work. But I think my motives were a wee bit astray, and that I was doing it so that I wouldn't be asked to say something over the mic. This particular night, it started to snow. Oh, I said, I'll go back now. There'll be nobody preaching or talking. They'll stop the open-air meeting. Well, most normal people would, but Michael Patrick's not normal. And he spied me coming to the side of the young people's open air. And he suddenly decided, in the snow, and it was snowing quite heavily, there's a young man here that has just come among us, and he's not long saved. I'm going to call upon him to give his testimony. Brother Trevor, come up to the mic. What could I do? I was sick in my stomach. I went to the mic, opened my mouth. I don't know what I said, but it has hardly shut since. I know that much. It helped. I used to, when I started to preach, and folks, that's over 50 years ago, I started to preach. I used to go round to the washroom, round to the toilet, just before the service was due to start. And I was as sick as I could be. I just vomited constantly before every meeting for a wee while. But the Lord will help you. He'll help you through all the things you need to be helped through. It's just as effective from the heart. And the good thing about silent prayer is it can be done anywhere. Jesus was in a river. Read of Nehemiah. There's about 11 prayers in the book of Nehemiah where they're what we call extemporaneous prayer. You just read about in the middle of something, he prays. He did that when the king asked him a question that demanded an immediate answer in Jeremiah 2:4. He made his prayer unto God and he answered the king. As soon as he offered the prayer, God answered it. See? Oh, it works, man. It works. It's not the habitat in which you pray. It's the heart with which you pray. Understand that, please. The reality of his praying, our time is rapidly going. Let me just say the reason why he prayed, and this will be brief. He prayed because of the importance of this moment. Baptism, as I have mentioned, is important in your life. It signified the commencement of his ministry, and it led him on to the temptation in the wilderness. A great battle lay ahead, and folks, you need to be reinforced with prayer. Remember the early believers, the early church, the early leaders? It's not meet that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's it. That's the two things that builds a church. Not miraculous healings or charismatic gifts. They may shine for a time, but they're like lemonade. The fizz goes out. They go back to normal. Years ago, I was at a charismatic type of service. I was watching it on the television screen outside, because they told us there were so many people in there, we couldn't get in. And the evangelist, he told people who were listening, there's hundreds of people out there watching all this on TV, as well as a number in here. I'm working from memory now, but I think there was four people. I think I was one of them outside. You don't build a church with anything else but the preaching of the word and the prayer of God's people. That's the key. I tell you, that's the key. If a man won't pray at the start of his ministry and the start of his life, Christian life, he won't pray much during it. I know a very prominent man, not a Free Presbyterian, but a prominent man, a man who preached the gospel. When he came to die, you know what he said? This was his confession. I wish I had finished my ministry the way I started it. He felt he was a failure because he had failed God. A preacher that I know and preached with once confessed in a public meeting like this that he hadn't prayed in private for 3 months. The only praying he ever did was in the meetings. That's an awful confession to make. Oh, you need to pray. Our time is gone. We've got to finish. Let me just say very quickly a word about the result of his praying. Verse 22 tells us of the chapter 3 of Luke. If I was at chapter 3, it would be better. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice was heard. The Holy Ghost came upon Jesus through prayer. You get the hold of that. That's so important. In the upper room, what were they doing? They were praying. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. Cloven tongues like a fire, and like a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't fire. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind, but it was like it. But it came upon them. And then notice the 22nd verse says, there was a voice from heaven. Beloved, listen. God spoke after prayer and after the coming of the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you through this book. Not through visions and dreams and signs, but through this book. Maybe learn to look into the book. Three times it says that the New Testament would not turn them up. But you read of this, God saying he was well pleased and God speaking out. His baptism, his transfiguration in Luke 9, and just before the crucifixion in John 12, on each occasion he was praying prior to God speaking. Preacher from a previous generation said this, and I quote him with this, I finish. Prayer may not yet get you much praise from men, nor the praise of the world, but true prayer will get you praise from God. I believe that to be the case. May God help us to be men and women who will pray, who will seek the Lord, who will call upon his name. That's the half hour. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And may you be encouraged as you leave this place that the Lord was with you. Father in heaven, we just give thanks for the truth of the gospel. And we thank thee for the power of prayer. Bless this congregation. Take us to our homes and wherever we're staying in this part of the country in safety. And bring us back this evening in the fullness of the power of Christ. Separate us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name.